Amen. We thank the choir and the narrators so much and their families for all that they have put into it. I was thinking about it. I'm sure it's like a lot of you folks who cook a big meal and all the time you put into that meal and then how quickly it's consumed, but enjoyed. And the same with the choir. They have worked so hard for a lot of months, and we've been able to enjoy it this morning. What a blessing to be reminded that it's finished. Is paid in full. I appreciate that thought. Stephen had brought it to my mind early last week, and as I read through the cantata and then heard it again this morning, time and again, the end of one thing is the beginning of another. You know, the work of redemption that the Lord Jesus Christ completed there at Calvary, it was designed to impact every one of us. Now, we've been impacted by the music, hearing it, but you know, the Lord Jesus, His work at Calvary, the work of salvation is designed to impact every one of us in this room. In fact, every human being, everywhere. And not only to impact our eternity, but also our time. The end of one thing is the beginning of another. The Lord Jesus' work there at Calvary, as He said, it is finished, is paid in full. The opportunity for the beginning of a new life, a new relationship, a new ability, a new purpose was put into practice. If you have a Bible, I'm asking you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. If you don't, there should be one there, a black Bible somewhere in the songbook rack on your row. I'd encourage you to get that and find 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we don't have a lot of time this morning, but we want to look at two verses. And we want to think a little bit about what the Lord Jesus did for us in dying and rising again. Now, we could go on and on forever and ever about that. In fact, we will. In heaven, we're going to be learning more and more about that. And there's so much in the Scripture. But I'd like just for us to read two verses together and then just make a few comments on them as we close up on this resurrection morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And you can listen or look along with me there in verses 14 and 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him who died for them and rose again. Very quickly, I want us to look at three of the many ways that the Lord Jesus dying for us impacts our lives. Now, you may have noticed that there were three times that that little phrase, died for, were in these verses. We see it there in the middle of verse 14. If one died for. And then we see at the beginning of verse 15, he died for. And in the end of verse 15, again, him which died for. And that little phrase in the Greek, died for, gives us the thought of what we would call substitution. Now, we often think of substitution in maybe the perspective of a basketball game, pretty current right now. And when a substitute comes in for another player, that player goes out and the new player comes in and he takes his place in the game. Now, that player wants to go in the game because he wants to have the opportunity to play in the game. But there's another substitution. We read about it here. It's a substitution in death. And the Lord Jesus, we find, died for, died instead of, died in the place of, died as a substitute for. And in that, we see the provision of salvation in verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all. Now, the if there in the King James really carries the sense of since. Since one died for all. It's not a question that maybe he did. No, we know that. We know that from history. We know that from the Word of God. That the Lord Jesus died, and he died in the place, notice, in whose place he died. He died in the place of all, of everyone. And he goes on to say, if one died for all, then we're all dead or all died. All died. And we read in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9 that we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for everyone. And there in the Greek, we have the same word for everyone as we have here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14, all. He died for all. And from this we learn that the death of the Lord Jesus was sufficient to pay for the sins of everybody, of every individual in this room. The death of Jesus Christ, when he said it is finished, his death was sufficient to pay for all of your sins. It's available for everyone. You know, the Lord Jesus said, he who has been forgiven much loves much. And when we stop and recognize the reality of the sinfulness, not only of our actions, but also of our attitudes, and also of our thoughts, and also of our motives, and we think of the Lord Jesus dying on that cross 2,000 years ago, and in 3 hours of darkness, when we understand that he was taking on himself the punishment for all of our sins, all the sins of all, that should strike a chord in our hearts that the Lord Jesus died for me. He has provided salvation for me. His death was sufficient to pay for the sins of every individual. That includes me. It's available to everyone, the provision of salvation. And then in verse 17, when we read again, he died for all, we go a step further to the possession of salvation. Notice there in verse 15, and that he died for all, that they which live. I want you to pause right there in that thought. We've already seen that he died for all. He made provision that everyone could have salvation. But notice here in verse 15, he died for all, that they which live. All died, but not all live, you see. Because they which live are those who not only know the reality that the Lord Jesus died for our sins, but they have received the Lord Jesus himself as Savior. Listen to a couple of verses I'd like to read for you. One from John chapter 20 and verse 31, written after the Lord Jesus arose from the dead, and concerning a time after he rose from the dead. And here's the words that I want you to listen to. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and notice this, and that believing ye might have life through his name. You see, it's not enough to know that the Lord Jesus died for all of my sins, but I must believe, I must place my faith and trust in him. John wrote these words in his first letter, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. It's not enough to know that the provision is there for the salvation of every individual, for my salvation. There must be faith. I must believe that the Lord Jesus died for me and that he rose again. And I must place my faith, and that's what believing is, place my faith for forgiveness of all of my sins on the Lord Jesus who loved me and died for me and rose again for me. It's active. Salvation is active, but it's active only for those who believe. The possession of salvation is only for those who have realized I'm a sinner and the Lord Jesus is the Savior and his death was for me. And I believe on him as my Savior. He said that no one that ever comes to me will I ever turn away. And that's the opportunity that each of us have this morning. Any who do not know the Lord Jesus, The opportunity for you, right where you sit, to say, I believe I'm a sinner. I know I'm a sinner. I believe the Lord Jesus died for me in my place as my substitute, that I might live spiritually. And you can have spiritual life right where you are by receiving the Lord Jesus, by trusting Him as your Savior for your sin. And that brings us to one last time, that little phrase of died for. The end of verse 15. And there we have the precision of salvation. Salvation has been provided. Salvation can be possessed by faith. It's a gift. It's not of works. But once we receive the Lord Jesus as Savior, once we have that new life, the end of one thing is the beginning of another, and we are to live our lives for Him. We read there that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him who died for them and rose again. You see, there's to be a precision, there's to be an accuracy in the aim of our lives. Because Jesus Christ died for us and rose again, we who understand that reality that He has provided for salvation, and we have received Him as Savior, and we now possess salvation, there should be a precision in the aim of our lives. For whom are you living your life? Paul says here that the old way, the way that we're no longer to live, is for self. Did you notice that? That they which live should not henceforth, or should no longer live unto themselves, no longer live for themselves. You see, the Lord Jesus, rising from the dead, enabled us to have a new life. And that new life means not only that I'm going to spend eternity in heaven, it means I have a new reason for living right now. I have a new purpose in my life. I have a new aim in my life, and it's to reflect the Lord Jesus and to bring glory to Him. Not for self. Are you living for yourself this morning? Is the aim of your life ultimately, when you stand back and your objective, is it you? Be honest. Because I'll be honest with myself. No, it's not for self anymore. It's not to be. But rather it's to be for Him who died for us and rose again. Am I living for Him who died in my place, who was my substitute there at Calvary, who suffered for me, who took my sins on Himself, who shed His blood for me? Is my life aimed toward the Lord Jesus? Am I living accurately? Am I living with precision? That is the challenge of Resurrection Day for all who know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Where is my life aimed? Paul would write to the believers in Rome and also to us in the Scripture, don't yield ye your members anymore as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. And Paul could say, as he wrote in Philippians 1, verse 21, for to me to live is Christ. I want to ask you to bow your head as we close this morning. We've listened to this beautiful music, and more importantly than the music were the words that the choir shared with us this morning. If you listen closely, everything that I said, you heard them say in other words. But we've also listened to the Word of God directly, both in the narration and in the music, and now from the proclamation of the Scriptures, and God is speaking to us this morning concerning His Son, and He loves His Son. He said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And I want you to think about Him this morning with your head bowed, thinking about only the Lord Jesus and you, the one who died in your place as your substitute willingly. He was the only one that could take your place. He's provided salvation for everyone. But only those who have received Him by faith possess that salvation. And all who have not received the Lord Jesus, all who have not truly placed their faith in Him alone for eternal life, The Bible says those individuals are on their way to hell, separated from God, spending eternity in a place where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth and darkness, everlasting torment, and God is not willing that any should perish. And if you're here this morning and you're not sure you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you can be sure that God says in His Word, He does not want you to perish. He wants you to turn to His Son, the Lord Jesus, and you can do that right where you sit. The Lord hears your heart as you tell Him, I want to be saved. I know I'm a sinner. I know I deserve to be separated from You, but I believe Your Son died for me. And I believe You accept Him, and I receive Him as my Savior. If you know Him as your Savior, I'd like to give you a moment just to reflect on the challenge of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and what that means for you. That you should no longer live your life for yourself. That I should no longer live my life for myself. No, I'm to live my life. You're to live your life for the One who died for us and rose again. Just a moment to spend alone with the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, it's been a joy to gather here this morning on this Resurrection Day. Father, thank You for the ministry of the choir and music, as they have reminded us again of the death of Your Son. Father, we know we cannot even begin to enter into the terrible suffering that He experienced physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. Father, as He was made sin for us, as He took our sin upon Himself, was separated from You, as He bore our sins in His own body there at Calvary. But Father, we thank You that He was taken down from that cross. His body was taken down and placed in that tomb. And just as He had said, after 3 days He would rise again, and He did. Father, we thank You for the words of His resurrection. He is not here, but He has risen as He said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. Father, we thank You for raising Your Son from the dead. We thank You for the salvation that's available. Father, we need Your salvation. We're all sinners. Father, we thank You that it's by grace that we are saved through faith. And not of ourselves, it's Your gift to us, not of our works, lest anyone should ever boast. Father, if there's anyone here this morning thinking they're going to get to heaven by what they do, Father, might they see clearly right now by the Holy Spirit that it's a gift and they must receive it. They must receive the Lord Jesus who loved them, who died for them, who rose for them. Father, the love of Christ compels us to share this message. And Father, for those of us who know You personally through faith in the Lord Jesus, might we be challenged afresh on this resurrection day that we're not to be living for ourselves. Father, we're to be living for Your Son who loved us, who died for us, who rose again. We ask these things in the name of our glorious Savior, the living Lord Jesus, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Amen. May the Lord bless you. I'd love to talk with you. I'll be out to the door to the right when we finish.